Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
All right, here we go in the studio here. Reginald, thumbs up. Yes, very good. Levels are bouncing in the correct manner. Very good. Microphone is hot. Talent is ready per usual. Let's just get started here. Three S's. Star, smile, strong. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Posted every Monday at WGNplus.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found, wherever you go to find your favorite podcast, by all means, subscribe to that and rate this podcast. And as I say many times, the best advertising is word of mouth. So please spread the word to your fellow podcast fans that you like to listen to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and send them a link or just tell them where to find it. As I said, WGNplus.com or anywhere where you find your favorite podcast. If you do go to WGNplus.com, you also can go to my landing page, which you just go to the entertainment section, hit the Elton Jim prompt, and you will find all previous 180 podcasts, which can only mean one thing. Welcome to episode 181 as we drive forward toward 200. And today on the podcast, we usually talk to Emily Arminetti in the Pop Culture Club, a little toward the halfway point. But I thought that today's topic may merit not only her expertise, but a little more time to discuss it. And so I thought we'd just go to the Pop Culture Club right at the top of the show. And so we welcome Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
Hey. So I thought it would be fitting to talk to you a little more in depth because, A, I think you've got more knowledge on this, and B,
you... I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, but because you were my pusher.
Streaming.
Yeah, you, I'm going to talk about, talk more about streaming now, and I have to say that it was pretty much your urging that got me to jump into the stream.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think now it's been over 2 years. I think it'll be 2 years in January, because I wound up, after you were telling me that I was woefully behind the curve.
Right.
And that was even 2 years ago. Then a friend of mine had shown me his Amazon Fire Stick and how simple it was to just, plug this thing in and get access to, at that time, the major streaming services like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and other things. Mm-hmm. And so it was very simple. And so then here I am, all of a sudden, a streamer, nothing but a streamer. Can you put your hands in your head? Oh, no. But now, I mean, my gosh, the streaming thing has been dominating not only, television and the business world and the headlines and the Emmy Awards. I mean, we're getting to a point here where I would think that we're almost at that point like where we were 35 years or so ago, where when people were starting to switch over to cable television, mm-hmm. from free TV, it was almost like, well, of course everybody has cable television. It wasn't even a question.
Yeah.
Two or three years ago, the stream thing was still sort of, oh, are you on the stream? And now, if you talk to anybody about, you know, television shows or any kind of entertainment options, I mean, it's a given. If you don't have at least one streaming service, I think people look at you like you would even like, oh, then you probably have a flip phone. Oh, wait a minute.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
but now, you know, like I said, there was Netflix and Amazon. And now, which ones do you have?
Well, all right. So Netflix is really the original, right? And that's the first one I subscribed to. And then I really didn't think I would subscribe to any others. But then when Amazon Prime, so part of the Amazon Prime deal is that you also got the Amazon Prime Video content. So we subscribe to Amazon Prime mostly because of the benefits of like ordering things.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, that was very smart on their part.
Yeah. So suddenly then we ended up with Netflix and Amazon.
So is that what you have, pretty much?
Well, now I have Hulu also. Because Hulu, I mean, look, for me, a lot of it comes down to original content. And when I subscribed to Netflix originally, it was because there were certain shows that I wanted to watch, but I just couldn't because I didn't have Netflix. So, like, for example, Orange is the New Black, which at the time that I subscribed was, like, really big.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And people were talking about it, and there was a lot of buzz. And, you know, and that was actually, I think, one of the very first shows that Netflix...
Yeah, House of Cards was the original, was the first one.
Well, yes. And House of Cards had been also getting buzz, and that kind of, like, you know, it was like all of those things combined made me decide, okay, you know what, I'm just going to do this. And then we had Amazon, which was more just a, you know, that was not really, it wasn't like, oh, we need to do this so we have the streaming services, but it was just, you know, a nice little bonus. But Hulu, so I was on like an airplane and I happened to watch a couple episodes of The Handmaid's Tale, which is a hugely popular Hulu original.
Right.
Right. And it was so good that I thought, it might be time for me to subscribe to Hulu. So I went ahead and did that. And, you know, if you do, I think I chose like one of the packages where I think there may still be some commercial interruptions, but it's less expensive and some deal like that just to like justify subscribing to yet another service. I'm not even counting now like music streaming because of course we have Spotify and then we have satellite radio, which is like the serious stuff. And so, you know, I think the thing is like, it starts out like Netflix was my gateway drug. Right. And the next thing
that was your marijuana.
So many of these things that,
okay. So I
feel like, you know, I may be an ideal candidate to cut the cable cord.
Well, this is my point. So now, not only do you have those three, you know, television viewing, things, but that's in addition to your regular, I would assume, you know, digital cable subscription, and that's what I'm saying is what's so interesting here is that we're getting to this point here where, and you mentioned it, and you know, the sort of cut the cable campaign, which also started about 2 or 3 years ago, where when the popularity of the streams were starting to come up, where people were saying, look, you know, I can the limitless and the access of these streaming services on any you know, screen I want, whether it's a TV, whether it's a phone, whether it's a tablet, you know, this, as you said, the compelling content of original programming. I don't want to miss out on these shows. And so it's like, geez, do I, you know, what am I getting from my cable to the fact that people were saying, look, you know, if I want my local stations, I can buy an over-the-air antenna, and then I can just have my two or three streaming services and be happy with that and save money, because most cable bills these days are anywhere from, you know, $150 to $200 based on what kind of packages you have.
Oh, I mean, they're really expensive. But here's the thing. For me, I mean, look, everyone now, when you have your Wi-Fi, all of that, your internet, that's all part of your cable package.
The bundle,
so that's one thing that keeps people hooked, I think. And there are ways around that, too. But the thing that kills me is, like, you know, you pay a couple hundred dollars a month, and then when you actually turn on the TV, it's like there's nothing on.
It's 57 and channels and nothing on, right?
I mean, why? Now, you know, the cable, I don't know, do we even call them networks? Like HBO, Showtime, they're not really networks. But anyway, cable stations, the movie stations are what used to be traditionally. Now, they have some original content that's worth hanging on to, but barely. I mean, they're not nearly as much as the streaming.
And they have their own, and they're having their own streaming apps now, too.
Well, right. That's right. But I don't know if you can really get on with, like, you know, HBO. I don't know what it is called, HBO Plus, maybe. Like, I think you have to have a subscription to HBO in order, and I don't know how you do that without your overall, like, cable package, but.
Well,
but,
no.
Again, they're barely hanging on. I mean, there's some good shows, like, we've talked about Succession. A lot of people talk about Billions. I think that's a cable show, right?
Yeah, that's on Showtime, yeah.
Yeah, on Showtime, okay. What are some of the other ones? Is The Marvelous Miss Maisel? Is that
No, that's on Amazon.
Is that streaming? Oh,
yeah,
that's
no,
Amazon.
There's, Ray Donovan, which is on Showtime. And
yeah, but Ray Donovan is kind of...
I'm just saying.
That was pretty buzzy a few years ago.
I'm just saying, though. There's like Ray Donovan. Jim Carrey has a show called Kidding.
Yeah.
There's Silicon Valley that's got its last thing. You know, there was Veep on HBO.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was Game of Thrones.
That's right. Now with Game of Thrones gone.
That show Shameless, which I think a lot of people like. I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, Euphoria is getting a lot of hype now, but that's more.
But, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing. But what I'm finding, too, so the reason I wanted to talk about this, because in the next 6 months, we are going to see some real migration to the stream. And a lot of turbulence, or the business buzzword this year, a lot of disruption in the force, because there is a lot of wrangling now for the stream, audience, and many of the content providers that were providing Netflix and Amazon with content are now starting their own. Streams, notably, which debuts this week, in fact, Disney Plus. So now, I mean, if you want to watch Dumbo or Snow White or any of the Marvel, you know, comic movies, which are extremely popular, or if you want to watch any of the Star Wars films in that entire, franchise and all that is Disney, you can't find that anywhere else except Disney Plus. So that's a huge, knock for Netflix, which used to be this, this kind of, Garden of Eden. And now NBC is going to start their own called The Peacock. And they are
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They're taking West Wing off of Netflix. And that's going to be sort of their... kind of tentpole thing to hopefully draw people. Seinfeld now moved and will be on Netflix, and they paid $500 million for that or something.
Oh, so, I'm sure, but I think they're going to end up losing Friends at some point.
Well, I think
they almost did.
Because I think Friends is going to go to the NBC one. I don't know for sure, and then HBO now is going to. Start their own called HBO Max. So, and they're going to have, a Game of Thrones prequel on there, as well as all the HBO shows. And so, I mean, you've already got CBS Access, which is, their big main attraction is they've created a couple of new Star Trek shows. And in fact, in 2020, there's going to be, for the first time, the Next Generation, Patrick Stewart is reprising his Jean-Luc Picard character for an original show on CBS Access. As you said, Hulu, You know, has The Handmaid's Tale, which is, you know, won major Emmy Awards. Miss Maisel won again several awards. It's on Amazon. You know, Netflix, obviously, with Stranger Things, and The Crown starts next week, or in a couple of weeks, I believe, which is, you know, their popular show. Apple yes. TV just launched with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon and Steve Carell with a show called Modern or Morning TV. You know, there's YouTube TV. There's Sling TV. I mean, there's so many. And I'm just wondering, to your point, I mean, cable, you know, if the bundle is one thing, you know, where you have your internet access. But, I mean, that cut the cord thing 3 or 4 years ago sounded a little extreme.
Yeah.
But so even in your situation, you know, so you've got those three. Now you've got two kids that are under age 10.
Right.
Are you tempted to get the Disney Plus?
Well, I don't see any way that we wouldn't, only because I think a subscription right now is only around like $7 a month.
Right.
And as any parent of kids of a certain age knows,
right?
Like you could, that's like the cost of like, you could rent a Disney movie on Amazon.
Well, you know,
Video,
that's going to go up. I mean, you know, that will go up.
Whatever. You know, I mean, if like something you're looking for, especially in a moment of desperation, example, if you like Thanksgiving's coming up, you know, everyone travels. You know, when you're about to get on an airplane with your kids, it's like, okay, what do you want? What do you need? Do you want to watch on the flight? You know,
right.
Cause you just need peace. You need to keep the peace for a couple of hours or however long you're going to be on this airplane. And so if my daughter says, oh, well, I really want to watch Frozen.
Right.
And Frozen is not on Netflix,
exactly,
or is not downloadable in any way, or any streaming service has it. I have to rent it from one of the services, and it's going to cost me, let's say it's probably going to cost me like $4.99 to rent it for a 24-hour period. So why wouldn't I bite the bullet?
Oh no,
like $7.
There's no question. I think you know, that's what's so funny is that you know, that's why Netflix, I believe, you know, they, you know, whoever is running that company, and there's a guy named Ted Sarandos whose name is always thrown around. I don't know if he's the head of it.
I think he used to run the E.
Oh, did he?
No, the E channel. I think he did.
You know, because I mean, what's so amazing about the entire Netflix story, as we know, I would say about 15 years or so ago, it first gained traction by you know, looking at the loopholes or the weaknesses in the Blockbuster model of saying, you know, people were renting DVDs at their local Blockbuster for the most part,
mm-hmm,
and they were either out of them, you know, they didn't have them when they went there on a Friday night and they wanted to see the new film and other things like that. And so here was Netflix that said, hey, you know, you order it and we will send it to you to your home. You could list all the other ones you want and we'll send you those. Just put it back in an envelope. And it was this very, I mean, you think about it, and that was only 15 years ago. It sounds prehistoric.
Right.
On actually getting some hard copy disc and mailing it, getting it in the mail. And then, you know, sending it back. And I mean, and people thought this was an amazing, you know, improvement.
Right.
And now it sounds archaic.
Right. Right.
And it wasn't that long ago. And then they quickly, or not quickly, I mean, that was the model for a year. And they basically, unbelievably, within what, 5 years or not less, pretty much put Blockbuster out of business.
I know, right?
I mean, that was a company that had been around for 30 years and, you know, jumped right on the whole VHS rental, you know, business model early on in the introduction of movies on VHS and beta, but, you know, video cassette recorders. And so they had the market, and Netflix completely just not only, you know, cut into their business, but completely evaporated that business.
Right.
And then they got into the streaming thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, to draw people, as we said earlier, you know, they spent some money And they got a two-time Oscar winner in Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright, who was nominated for Forrest Gump, and so to put on House of Cards, and then it won a few Emmys, and suddenly they were in business. I mean, they are throwing around so much money on shows. They're giving Eddie Murphy $70 million to do a couple of stand-up things. And they're giving Seinfeld $50 million to do some stand-up in his coffee with celebrities and cars.
I like that show. Yeah. Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, the money that they have, and now now they're getting into cinema films, and they've been doing that for the last couple of years, where they're actually producing these and showing them in theaters for a couple of weeks, and then having them exclusively on Netflix. And this year, the big story is that they spent anywhere between $150 or $200 million on this new Martin Scorsese film called The Irishman.
Right. In fact, I think that's coming.
Yeah, it's going to be on.
Very soon.
Yeah, it's coming to theaters. It's by the time this podcast is posted, it will have opened. It opens on November 8th. And then it gets to Netflix, I believe, on November 27th. But they have to put it in theaters because they want to make it eligible for the Academy Awards.
And honestly, I could see Martin Scorsese wanting to have a theatrical release.
Well, of course, but my point is, the thing is that now Netflix is started out with this company that used to send you DVDs in the mail,
right?
And now they are responsible for and funding. I mean, Scorsese had been trying to get this movie made for 10 years, and there is no Hollywood studio or any investors that would back it because of the costs it would put together. It's a 3.5-hour movie. There's a lot of CGI because they do a lot of aging of the characters. There's a lot of flashbacks. And they use the actual character, they use Robert De Niro, but then they do some CGI technology to make him look like he's 20.
Right. They should just CGI some of the old footage of him from his previous movies,
But my point is that Scorsese basically said, they gave me this money with no strings attached and no studio would ever do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these guys are a major player in Hollywood. It's amazing how in such a short time they went from this kind of, as I said before, this basic kind of, mail something to you to this powerhouse. And so I think that as their success grew, naturally these other companies that were starting to help fuel Netflix, like Disney or like NBC, who had this content that were helping Netflix initially, they're like, wait a minute, why are we letting them?
But that is what was the game changer for Netflix and for streaming, was the introduction of original content. Because you can have the whole Friends catalog, on your streaming service. And yeah, some people are going to watch that. But it doesn't make it a must-have when you could also, on any given day of the week, turn on TBS and there's six or seven episodes of Friends in a row if you want that little hit of nostalgia, But it's really the original content that kind of was a game changer for them. But it also is, and Disney, I think, is different in this sense, because Disney content is unlike any other, because have a whole new demographic, a whole new audience of people who have not been introduced
to it. Who are going to grow up and have to know about Dumbo and Snow White and Pinocchio.
Right. And the animated films, it would be really hard. I'm already trying to get my kids to watch movies that are age appropriate that were from my childhood. So take, for example, the movie Goonies, or recently we watched Mrs. Doubtfire, and that's fun, but they're really not that interested. It takes a lot of arm twisting, but you don't have to twist a kid's arm to make them watch one of the Disney classics or to get them interested in an animated movie that maybe came out 10 years before they were born.
Right. Why Disney...
Toy Story. They love Toy Story. Yeah. I mean, my kids weren't even born when the first one
came out. Well, that's why, Disney will just... Disney is Disney.
Right. And they can coast. They can coast on all of that existing content for a really long time.
Well, they already have. Do you know how many times... Think about in the last, 40 years... You know, take a movie. Okay, take a movie like Snow White, or you know, Pinocchio, or even The Lion King, or you know, even Aladdin. You know, more recent things. Okay, so first you had the theatrical release when it first came out.
Yeah.
So they made money off of that. Then, you know, they sold it to all the cable stations, and they got money from that. Right. Then, of course, they put it out on VHS back in the 80s and 90s, and they got money. Everybody had to have a whole collection of Disney on VHS. Then they comes DVD. So now right. if you have to buy it on DVD.
Right.
So now you bought it on another format. Now, you all of a sudden, DVD is out, and now you've got the streaming service. And as you said, to have access to that library is almost a no-brainer. And so right. they're making another. I mean, these are just most of these movies at this point where they're making all that. These are things that have been sitting on the shelf, and they just print money again. You know, now, well, yes, they've made new ones. They can.
That's not even counting all the merchandise.
Oh, yeah. So they are. And that's why I said the debut of this Disney Plus is such a huge thing for the you talk about game changer. I really do believe that this is a game changer for the stream, because it brings in really now. At first, it was kind of, okay, there's, you know, Netflix, it's a standalone company. And there's Amazon, which is obviously, you know, one of the biggest companies in the world right now. But still, you know, it was mostly a shopping kind of thing, and suddenly it gets involved in the entertainment world. And Hulu is, once again, this smaller little thing, you know.
Yeah.
But now...
Well, and the thing about Hulu that I think they really... And maybe this has changed since the last time I checked. I certainly hope so. But they need to step it up, because, like, go back to my airplane example. On Netflix, you have the ability... Not all of the content is downloadable, but you can download content. So you can load up your iPad. Like, I just went... When I went to Italy, I had, you know... I mean, I was traveling for... I don't know. I mean, an insane number of hours and, you know, like a number of flights just to get where I was going to a place in Italy that's not super easy to get to. And I mean, I loaded up my iPad, and that's all stuff that I downloaded from Netflix. Hulu does not even offer that yet, which I find astonishing.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
That doesn't seem like something that should be that hard to do.
Well, I've noticed.
I mean, maybe I'm being naive, but.
I've noticed some commercials on television for Hulu, so certainly they are feeling the impact of these other major. My point is now major entertainment companies, are coming into the fold, like Disney, like NBC, like HBO,
like Apple. Now I don't understand though but see, this is where I think you know, Disney. Like I said, I feel that they're set, like they're golden. Their streaming service will do really well, and they don't even have to worry about necessarily posting original content there. But when it comes to like the television networks, I don't get what are they going to have?
Right, because how does
what are they offering?
Well, to your point, which is exactly correct. So okay, NBC. For instance, you know, they say they're going to bring West Wing over there. Okay, fine. One of my favorite shows of all time. You know, Emmy Award winning, certainly has name cachet. But to your point, is that correct? What is the difference between, if you're going to have original programming, why wouldn't you have that on NBC television?
Well, that exactly. And the thing is that
they're mad.
They're cannibalizing their...
Yeah. I mean, that's what makes me mad about...
I guess that is where this is all... is.
Whoops, I think we lost you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I think that, you know, that it in a way we're moving toward a world where there is no real-time TV anymore.
There's no
real-time broadcasting.
Well, this is why, and if you remember, I have made this prediction, and I still stand by it. And now, especially, because to exactly what you're talking about. I mean, you know, CBS Access, you know, they've got these Star Wars or these Star Trek shows, and they're doing this Picard show. Now, once again, and my point of view is, I want to watch this Picard thing. Why isn't it on CBS television? You know, you're making me now go to some. So to your point, they're cannibalizing their own product. I mean, if you've got Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, which don't have a regular broadcast platform, then that's fine. But if you are a broadcast platform like an HBO or a NBC or a CBS, then I don't understand the logic of that. And that's why I say, and I don't, I first thought maybe it would be 20 years away, but given how everybody and all these major companies are running to the stream, I believe within the next 10 years, you are really going to see that broadcast television, because as we talked before several times about the Emmys, nowadays, there's only one network show that's even nominated for an Emmy.
Right.
This Is Us. And that's it.
Right.
Even on the comedy side, maybe The Good Place, but there's very few. And I really think that network television is going to wind up just being the place because it is, for the most part, you know, it does have that aspect of being free, even though a lot of us watch it through our cable or our satellite provider, but it is over the air and free for people that can't afford that. So that's, you know, there always will be a free aspect to television, but it will only be the,
well,
the,
it's not free because you're watching your, what you're paying is your time because,
well,
you, because of commercials. However, now ever since like the DVR, you know,
yeah, but I'm just saying if you have an antenna on your TV, right, you could pick up, you know, CBS, ABC and some of these stations for free.
Yeah.
Over the air. But my point is, I think it's just going to be a source, and just one source. I think it's just going to be a source, another platform, as opposed to the dominant thing that we all go to, for just big event programming, like the Super Bowl, or the World Series, or the Oscars, or the Grammys. Because when it comes to original programming, you're seeing so many of these streaming services being willing to spend millions of dollars to attract top talent, and because it's pay, they don't have to worry about the FCC and nudity and swearing, and that makes the content a little more compelling. And so I think the network television is going to wind up being kind of just an ancillary spot to watch maybe, you know, sporting events, award shows, maybe some, you know, bad reality shows and some remakes of game shows. But in terms of must-see TV, I don't see the networks really being able to compete anymore.
But also, I think, too, like with the introduction of additional streaming services, people are going to reach a point where they're like, all right, with my Netflix, my Hulu, right? My Disney, and, you know, my Apple Plus subscriptions, I'm getting to $75 to $100 a month. I'm not paying that in addition to cable. I'm cutting the cord. That, and I would say, but your point about the Super Bowl is a good one. I believe the only reason that we have not cut the cord in our house is sports.
Right.
It's the sports channels. Yeah. It's the number of sports channels. And I feel like that's the only reason. And then for me, I guess for my part, Bravo. But, you know, Bravo could always find a home on one of the streaming services.
Yeah, because Bravo is owned by NBC. So you
would, but I mean, if ESPN launched a sports streaming service, I mean, right, that could be enough to put, for example,
that showed the original live games.
Right.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think there's no doubt that there is a major shift going on here, and this is a major revolution, even though we don't know it.
Yes, but now you know who wins this. Actually, whoever decides to strike the deals with the streaming services and become like the main platform, where they've like consolidated all your streaming services.
Yeah, well, to be like a cable streaming service.
Like that. I mean, actually, Apple would probably be the type of organization that would think to do something, do something like that. But then again, now they've got their own service.
I think there's three, right? I mean, there's going to be more. There's going to be a lot of churn and a lot of, change and tumult going on in the next 5 or 6 years, as I said, is more of these players, because clearly There are people willing to pay $10 to $15 a month. As you said, I don't know how, and that's part of what I think right now as it stands, there's like three questions. One of them is exactly what you're saying. How many $10 to $15 individual charges can one household absorb?
Right, in addition to.
In addition to. Yeah,
the not inexpensive cable package,
right?
That you're already paying,
right? Because you're gonna, because don't forget, you have to have your 50 to whatever dollar a month internet charge, because that is the lifeline to everything. So you have to have that,
right?
And so then, to your point, there is still some compelling content on cable that you can't get anywhere else. But then you're finding all these new shows that are that if you're not into A Handmaid's Tale, then you watch the Emmys and it wins all the Emmys and you go, I'm in out in left field. Or House of Cards. I think I told you the story. For several years, I would go to my friend's house who had Netflix, and we would go to his house and spend 12 hours at his house watching the full season, the new season of House of Cards. We would start at noon, and we would get done by like 11 o'clock at night. We were there all day.
Right.
You know, and then finally I'm like, okay, we can't continue to do this. But so that content was so compelling that finally it did push me over. But so I think, A, I wonder, is there a breaking point in terms of how many $10 to $15 you know, charges am I going to be able to absorb? But once again, if the content is there, people may do it. But the other one is, and that's the bigger question. My question is, how long can the content be so compelling?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, if...
Because I think there's when the creativity well does run dry.
Well, it's not even going to be that. It's going to be like, when the streaming services are clearly, like, they're clearly the winners in this. Who would you sell your original series to? Would you pitch it to Netflix,
right?
Or would you pitch it to HBO? If HBO is a sinking ship because all of cable TV is sinking, you're going to go to Netflix, or you're going to go to Apple TV, or you're going to go to.
But that's why, HBO says, but we've got HBO Max.
But again, like, I feel like you still have to have that cable subscription to even get
those. Well, no, because like so here's the best part. You talked about cannibalization, which is exactly what this is. So I have Dish Network as my satellite provider, and I've had it for almost 30 years, almost when it first came out. Mm-hmm. So last year, right around now, at this time, HBO and Dish got into a conflict about the carrying fees of how much that HBO was going to charge Dish to carry their programming on their satellite service. So, and this has happened with many different providers, cable providers as well as satellite providers. They get into these negotiations, and for a while, the programming is pulled. Mm-hmm. Well, they pulled HBO off of Dish in November, right? Mm-hmm. And there was really nothing big on in terms of the original programming for HBO in November or December. You know, it's the Christmas time and the holidays in January. But in my mind, I said, well, I don't know how long this is going to last. And I was able to get along without HBO for a few months. And I said, well, I don't know how long this is going to last, but certainly by April of 2019, when the final season of Game of Thrones comes on, Dish has to, someone has to give in here because.
Yeah, they need to figure it out.
Yeah, and I figured, so, okay, they're going to play games, but then when push comes to shove, at 2 ticks to midnight, believe me, HBO is going to be back on Dish for, the Game of Thrones. Well, yeah. Like 3 weeks before the Game of Thrones premiere of their final season, on the program guide, where the HBO, little thing would be there in the grid, it said, if you want to watch the final season of HBO of Game of Thrones, subscribe to HBO Go.
Oh, really?
So they were literally telling you, and they took the monthly charge for HBO off of our bill.
Yeah.
And they were basically telling you to go to HBO and subscribe to it on your own. And HBO Go is a streaming service. Now it's mostly the older shows, but it also does show their first run shows. So that's how then I was able to watch the final season of that, as well as the final season of Veep. So you talk about cannibalization. Here's a satellite company basically now telling you to go to a streaming service.
Right.
So once that starts, you sort of see that content is king. And who owns the content and who delivers that content, creates it, does hold all the keys to the kingdom, because the providers are really at their mercy.
Right.
And so when I saw that, I was like, wow, when Dish is actually telling me to go to HBO. Now, once again, I'm not at the point of cutting the cord.
But, well, that said, it's smart of them to do that, because if they're not doing that and you're getting nervous because you're a big Game of Thrones fan and you've been waiting for 2 years.
They knew that,
for the season premiere. You could easily just be like, you know what? See you later, Dish. I'm calling Spectrum.
Okay, so
whoever is your option.
But here's the thing. So now, fast forward to right now. The Chicago Cubs are launching their own pay-per-view channel for the 2020 season, where all the games are going to be on. They're not going to be on WGN television.
Really?
The Cubs are starting their own network, and they're not going to be on the NBC Sports channel that they have been on, along with the White Sox and the Bulls and the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a part owner of that station. So when they opted out, then those other teams, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, and the White Sox, basically had to reform a new company now, mm-hmm. because those other guys were gone. And the Cubs now have to, now the question will be, in my mind, because it's not set yet, I don't know if I would buy this monthly Cub thing. But, for instance, in my situation, Dish has to cut a deal with that network in order to be shown on my Dish network.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And here's my but here's my thing, and this is why I don't know if it's going to happen, because the new station that was created, this new entity that carries the Blackhawks, the White Sox, and the Bulls, they have not reached a deal with Dish. And so since this hockey season and basketball season started, I don't have that station anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a big Hawk fan or a big Bulls fan...
So you can't watch any...
I cannot watch any Blackhawks games. They are not on WGN television. The Bulls, they're all on this station. They're consolidating it onto one station. So I can no longer, up to this season, the season started in October, I'm a big hockey fan, I have not seen one Blackhawks game. And once again, when you go on that station, Dish says, the model for regional programming, the business model has been terrible, and we're fighting for your rights. And I'm sitting there going, look, I didn't get you to fight for my rights.
Right. You just want to watch your game.
I got you to fight for my programming. So in the last year, you made me go to a streaming service to get Game of Thrones and leave you. And give you less money, and now you're telling me that you're becoming some crusader for the industry, which I don't really care. I want my MTV,
right.
I want my Blackhawks, and now so my point is, I don't know how if this continues to go on, there may be a point where I'm saying, okay, Dish, what are you really providing me?
Well, you should probably be already reaching that
point. Well, I am. I'm getting to that point, like I said, because, if I can, but see, now, once again, I would have to look at the other programming. Like I said, I can always get my over-the-air programming from an antenna, but then I have to say, okay, what other things do I get in my basic package or in whatever package I have?
Yeah.
You know, would I be able to get, for instance, you know, the FX network to watch American Horror Story? Would I be able to get TBS to watch whatever shows I like to watch on there? Would I be able to get, you know, what other, the Sci-Fi network or whatever?
Right.
So you sort of have to start to make that choice. Now, I don't know if these cable and satellite providers are going to start to be able to give you a la carte stuff where you just say, look, these are the 10 stations I want.
Right.
I don't need.
But I don't really know about. I don't know if that's worth it for them.
That's what I mean. I don't know if they can get to that point. So I'm wondering, A, you know, as I said before, you know, what is it worth? I have to start to wonder, do I go to the cut the cord thing? And like you said, you know, how do you make this decision? How many times can you?
Because also, like with your cable, think about how much fat you can cut off that. Like,
oh,
you know,
not even
if I
close.
Have like 500 channels, I probably only watch like 10 of them.
Exactly. That's my point. So that's what I'm saying is that, you know, if they gave me an a la carte kind of option to say, hey, look, pick 20 of your favorite stations and just pay for those, then I would do that.
Yeah.
You know, but I have to wonder. So I wonder if, A, the create, because here's my thing. Like I said, you know, I was drawn to see House of Cards, and everybody then, as time went on the last couple of years, everybody's talking about Stranger Things, and everybody's talking about Handmaid's Tale and all these other things. So, you know, in the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel's winning all the Emmys. And so I'm like, geez, what am I missing here? Like you said, Orange is the New Black. And some of these other shows. I'm like, geez, what am I missing? Then, you know, I was a huge fan of Arrested Development. And then they, you know, put the new episodes of Arrested Development on Netflix, too.
Oh, and speaking of Jason Bateman, that's what you're missing, Ozark.
And, oh, no, and, yeah.
Which is his show that's
which,
on
yeah, which
Netflix
was fantastic,
original,
and I loved Ozark. You know, so, I mean, that's why, ultimately, I decided to go to it. But I'm just wondering, as more of these streaming services do become available, how thin is the talent pool? You know, right now there were, you know, at first there were two or three different streaming services. So there was an abundance of talent available. But when you have 20 streaming services and they all want content, I wonder, does the high standard of those initial shows, because you had a lot of talent and a few outlets, so you can get great talent, but when you start to get 20 different streaming services, I wonder if the talent is the abundance and the quality of talent is still there, and to create enough compelling content. Which is, don't forget, like you said, when you first got cable 30 years ago, oh my God, you were watching every station. This is awesome.
Right.
And then you wound up only really watching 10 stations.
Right.
So that's my question here is, if you, when there were three major streaming services and there were all these great shows, you say, wow, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But if there's 20... I wonder if the creativity pool and the compelling talent and the compelling content can continue to be at that high level, whereas all of a sudden I'm subscribing to 20 of these things, but I'm really not watching 15 of them anymore.
Yeah, but I would say I'm not worried as long as they're still – I mean – Netflix is still canceling shows that actually had a following.
Yeah, right.
But for one reason or another, and we've talked about this before, I really liked the Santa Clarita Diet with Drew Barrymore right. And Timothy Oliphant. And when stuff like that is getting canceled, I think there's still room for, you know, there's still room in the field. And hey, I would love for someone else to pick that show up.
Well, let's see. Like I said, I don't know. I just wonder, because I saw what happened with cable and how... The more channels were added, the must-see aspect of it. Uh-oh, did we lose you? The must-see aspect of it was gone. And that's the thing that... we have a technical difficulty here. Is she here? Oops, what happened to her? Are you there? No? Wonder what happened.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. I don't know how we lost Emily all of a sudden. Maybe we can hopefully pick her up again. Let's see. There's the little sound. Do do dee do dee do. It's ringing. I don't know if she knows that we're not off. I don't know. Well, this is so. That was my point. Hopefully, we can get Emily back. I'll continue to try here, but see, that's my point. I'm just wondering if the content will be there. And lastly, my biggest question is: how do we keep all these shows? How do we find them? You know, there used to be a time when you had a TV guide that you either bought at the store or you got in your Sunday paper. And everything was there that was on television, and you could read the TV guide. But now it seems like every week, you know, there's a new show. Are you there?
Yes.
What happened to you?
I don't know. The call drops. See, yeah. Technology. This is what happens when we rely on technology.
Yeah. So thankfully you're back. So what I was just talking about here was my third issue was, first was about can the creativity continue at the high standard? B, how much can we be nickeled and dimed, and how many of these individual streaming services for $10 to $15 a month can we afford? And here's the thing. I need your help. So that's why I'm exactly glad you're back, because, and we talked about this before, and now it's even more imperative. You know, today there's no such thing as a TV guide.
Oh,
you used to be able to go to the store and either buy a TV guide, or it was nicely nestled in between the sports section and the comics in your Sunday paper, and even that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So every week, there's no fall season anymore where you say, okay, if shows officially start now. There's just shows dropping on any date, at any time, no matter where you are, what you're doing. So my question is, now with even more of these services and more original programs, how do I keep up? Where do I go? What is my source? Do you have a source?
Well, I have a source.
What is your source?
I'm not saying that this is like the source, but it's
I need a source.
All right, there's a website called Vulture.com.
Vulture.
Vulture.com.
What does that have to do with television?
Well, I think it's called Vulture because the whole website has to just do generally with pop culture.
I see.
And so they do all kinds of stuff. You know, they cover like TV, they cover movies.
So if I go to Vulture, what do I do?
Well, you go there, and usually, I would say every month, they'll post like a roundup of like what's new coming to streaming services and what's leaving also.
Oh.
So you can kind of keep track of what's coming when. That is my source.
So you go to Vulture. Now is that something that I could print out? To remind myself? Because I need something to remind myself that, November 12th is this new show.
Yes, if you are so inclined, they do it in like the form of a list where it's like the date and then what's coming or premiering or whatever the case is with the show and then what's leaving. So, yeah, it's almost like a little, it's not a calendar in calendar format, but it's a list by date.
So that one
you could print that out.
So that's helpful to you.
Yeah, To me, yes, it is.
All right. So vulture.com. Because like
yeah,
I said,
vulture.com.
I mean, it's like I'm studying for a midterm here.
Right.
I mean, you go on and it's like I'm reading all these different websites and these different stories and, oh, this show is coming on and this show is great. And, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, what? When? Where? How?
Yeah, it's a mind scramble.
Yeah, it's impossible. That was, once again, it certainly was a simpler time when there were three networks and maybe a couple of fuzzy and snowy UHF channels. But then there was also limitations. We had to wait until CBS said, you can't watch the show until Friday at 8:30, which the stream obviously completely eliminates. But wow, there is so much out there now. And I have to say, to your point, so I was on a plane recently, and they did have the first three episodes of A Handmaid's Tale, just the first three.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now so upset because I really enjoyed those.
Right.
I never saw the show. Elizabeth Moss is one of my favorite actresses.
Oh, yeah. She's
one of my favorite actresses. And I've seen her, and I love everything she does. And so I was intrigued because the whole idea of The Handmaid's Tale was interesting, and it was winning all these awards, and she was winning it, and blah, blah, blah. So I watched the first three episodes, and now, like, I'm not going to get Hulu. I know I'm not going to get Hulu.
I don't know.
But I'm dying.
Sounds like they've got you hooked.
Yeah, because I don't, and I'm not going to buy the DVD set.
Well, no. Do you even have a DVD?
I don't. I don't even. That's my point. I was just saying this to my wife. You know, I had a small, like, portable DVD player that we bought like 10 years ago, if not more, 15 years ago. They had a little screen, you know what I mean? You can carry it with you because it was kind of cool at the time because DVDs were so popular. And so basically, I used that. I was able to hook that into my TV, and I used that as my DVD player, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as time went on, the thing broke, and so I threw it away because it just wasn't working anymore. So I was like, you know, we don't even have, like, for instance, because I'm a completist, I had to buy the Elton John film Rocket Man on DVD, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I have nowhere to play it.
Of course not.
I mean,
when I got Vampire Weekend tickets, the show was over the summer, but I bought the tickets in the spring, and I kept getting these email alerts about like a free CD that comes with my tickets, and can you please provide your address? And I'm like, right. Why?
Right.
What am I going to play this on?
I mean, I did buy, but I got a new computer recently. I did buy the little add-on that, because they're not even built in the computers anymore. They used to have, you know, the disk drive was built in the computer to play a CD or to play a DVD.
Right.
But now they don't even put it on it because A, it adds weight to the laptop, mm-hmm. and people don't want that. And B, to your point, everybody's using streaming services.
Right.
So why would they need that? But they do have it in case you did want that option. So I did buy that. So in theory, I guess I could watch it, you know, if I wanted to, you know, watch it on my computer. But yeah, I mean, so I'm not going to buy A Handmaid's Tale for $20 and have to watch a season and a half and then maybe never watch it again.
Right. And also think about it this way. For like $10, so $20, let's say, if you buy like the thing, that's like 2 months of the whole Hulu service. So you can get everything that Hulu has.
I know. That's like I said.
Including The Handmaid's Tale.
I know. That's why, like I said, I'm so torn because this is not, we are right now, we are in this kind of gray area where everything is changing. And so there's really no one solution. In another 4 or 5 years, a lot of this may all be settled out. But right now, there's new streaming services coming in. This going, you know, these old technologies going out. I mean, in 5 years, I doubt if there will even be hard copy DVDs.
Right.
I mean, why bother? I mean,
I don't think they should. I think it's a waste of material.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Make stuff like that. I mean, you know, what's so funny, like, I believe now, like, my, when I bought our last car in 2016, the guy said, because it does have a CD, you know, player in it. And I still have CDs, you know, that I play. And he said, well, you know, I do have my iPod hooked into the car, too. He said, but, you know, this is going to be the last year. There will be no more CD players in cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow. I mean, you know, within 25 years, it came and went.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I just think that there's
no... I mean, put it to you this way. My kids, they have no concept. I mean, the way that we play, like, I was around for the album. I mean, I was alive, right. I think, when 8-tracks were still being played, but right, I was too little. But for the record album, for the cassette, for the mini, remember the mini
CDs, that was supposed to be the big... CDs,
DVDs, whatever. We went through the whole VHS Betamax thing, fine. My kids have no concept of, like, anything, like... They basically, it's like any song I can think of that pops in my head that I want to hear, all I need to do is just say, Alexa, play this. And it plays. Like, they don't understand at all. No. And sometimes in the car, they'll say to me, like, Mommy, can you, play this song?
Right.
And I mean, the reality is I actually can.
Right.
But, like, we'll listen to a song on, if I'm playing something on Sirius, okay? And the song ends, and sometimes my daughter will say to me, can you play that again? And I'm like, well, on one hand, I can't because this is, I can't just hit serious. Like a back button on
yeah,
this.
Right.
This is, which this they is should. Actually playing on satellite radio.
Which they but should I, do, actually.
Yeah. But on the other hand, what I don't want her to know is I actually can.
Right.
If I really wanted to go into Spotify.
Right.
Look up the song. I mean, I'm driving, so I don't really want to be faffing around with my phone while I'm driving.
Right.
But, you know, it's so crazy, like, how different it is now. I mean, honestly, when my son is getting ready for bed at night and getting ready for school in the morning, he basically is just like, Alexa, play this, and just listens to music, whatever he decides, and Alexa makes it happen, you know, and it's just
well,
crazy.
Hey, I mean, I never had the machine, per se, to play these, but, so you're talking about, you know, in your lifetime, you know, and I'm about 10 years older than you, so yeah, I do remember having an 8-track tape player in my car. And as a part of my stereo console system there, where you had the radio and the turntable all in one unit and the 8-track. So I've had, you know, vinyl records. I've had 8-tracks, cassettes, mini disc. If you remember, there was something called DAT, which was also supposed to, it was a small digital tape that was supposed to take the place of a cassette, which never caught on, but it was out there for a while. But there were the mini cassettes or the mini CDs like you're talking about. Then, you know, there was also, and I have these just because I collect them with Elton, there were reel-to-reel machines. They used to sell the reels. Like, you know those... You know what a reel? Do you even know what that is? It was literally.
No.
Listen to it. It's blank over there. There was did you ever see a tape? Did you ever watch Mission Impossible? And they had the little tape player with the two wheels of tape.
Are you talking about the original Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
Or are we talking Tom Cruise?
No, not Mission Tom Cruise. The original. So if you've
is
this funny?
That.
So you have never seen a reel to reel tape?
No.
Oh my God! You've never seen
so.
Not even a picture of a. Of a machine in a studio that has two round wheels running.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but that's my point. So they used to actually sell albums on that format.
Okay, no, I've never seen that in real life, though. I've maybe seen one.
You've
like,
never
in
seen
the
it in real life.
Something.
Oh, my God, how funny is that? See? Well,
yeah.
I had to laugh, and I've told this story to many people. When we both worked at the PR firm, I was talking to one of the young women that were there, and she had just graduated from, you know, she was 1 or 2 years out of college, and this is the early 90s, and that's when CDs were the big thing. And I was telling her how I had a jukebox.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw your jukebox.
Yes, you did. And I said, oh, it plays vinyl 45s. And she had the same reaction as you just did to my reel-to-reel comment.
Yeah, like, what?
She looked at me like I was crazy because in her lifetime, there was just CDs. And well, so I said, I said, do you know what I'm talking about? She said, no. I said, well, you know the vinyl records with the big hole in the middle? And she still looked at me like I was crazy. I mean, you know what a vinyl 45 is, right?
Well, yeah, that's insane because that would have been someone in my age group.
Well, no. She was like 5 years younger than you. And that may just be enough time. And so,
yeah, maybe.
And she said, oh, just like you just said, oh, I think I saw one in a movie.
Yeah.
And then she said, could you bring it into work so I could see it? Like I hit a dinosaur bone or something. I mean, it really is unbelievable how fast the technology has moved. And I don't know where it's going, but we may not even be aware. But like I said, this week with the fact that Disney is starting this, it really does change the entire landscape because now you're going to have other major content companies deciding how do we get into this. And as I said, I think you're really going to start to see network television is going to have to try to find a way to survive. And they may even just say, okay, we're going to cannibalize ourselves because we have to get into this new technology.
Right.
You know? So anyway, I don't know where it's going, but now all I can say is that I have more than my toe in the stream. I might be up. I might be up to my calf.
I think I may have talked you into Hulu today.
I know. I might actually go knee deep.
Right.
I actually might start to wade.
I'm just hoping you don't drown.
So I know. Well, I might drown.
Be careful out there.
I might drown because there's so many new ones coming out. The stream is going to blow past its borders. It's going to flood.
Right.
I'm going to have to bail. But anyway, once again, you were my stream pusher. You got me started on the stream.
I know. Well, Netflix is the gateway.
But
so,
I have to say,
know,
yeah,
once
I have to
I
say,
get you hooked on that.
No, but I have to say thank you. I have to say thank you because I have watched so many, you know, shows, and it is it's been an amazing. To say, I said, just in 2 or 3 years, the way this has happened, and really, if you do think about it, all this change in television, because like you said, your kids don't even get it. There's people even in our lifetimes that are here that don't even realize that there was a time when all television was free.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you think about it, what really made people decide that they were willing to pay for television as opposed to just getting it for free, to me, the game changer was MTV.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with that.
I think that was such a compelling content of that time that if you did not have MTV and you were anywhere in your mid-teens to your mid-20s, you were completely out of the picture. You had to have MTV. And you somehow were able to convince your parents that we got to get this.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
It was really MTV. It was Sting and Billy Idol saying, I want my MTV. And we all listened. And now we want our Hulu. I do want my Handmaid's Tale.
Well, I've got my Hulu, so.
I want my Handmaid's Tale. Well, thank you, Emily. I don't know if we've once again figured out anything here, but we certainly have talked about it enough, which is the whole point of this.
Right.
So thank you for sharing. And once again, folks, if you're as confused as I am, vulture.com, according to Emily, is the place to go.
Yes.
If you want to somehow figure out, I've got all these streaming services. Now, where the hell do I find anything?
Right.
So vulture.com. Pop Culture Club. Emily Arminetti, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
And so that ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com and wherever you find your favorite podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and tell your friends about Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, new episode is posted and is out there for your listening pleasure. Thank you so much for your loyalty. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This has been episode 181. Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.